Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Glory and Peace Church. Welcome back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hold on, I can't hear myself. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. We thank you, Lord, that your presence is in this place, Father God. We worship your name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just stand up and praise him. Father God, we thank you for your presence in this place. We worship your name this morning. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We give this service to you, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are mighty. Hallelujah. You are awesome. Hallelujah. We praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You are a great God. Hallelujah. Praise God, let's go, here we go, God is good, he is great, hallelujah.
just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there's peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Just want to speak the name of Jesus to every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like the fire.
Oh, I just want Jesus, hope of fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus, oh,
your name is power, your name is healing, your name just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak
Jesus. Says, I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Father, we're reminded that there was a blind man the other side of Jericho. There were two blind men before Jericho. Both cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The crowd said to them, shut up. You don't have the right to speak that name. But they listened not to the voices of the masses. They cried out even louder, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That day, those blind men, two before Jericho and one after Jericho, received their sight. While you went through Jericho, there was a man who said, I must see Jesus today. He was sighted, but he was short, and so the masses blinded his view. But that day he decided he must climb up a tree, because he will see Jesus. He will speak the name of Jesus. You saw him in the midst of all those that climbed on trees. You stopped under the tree that the man Zacchaeus had climbed on. Said, Zacchaeus, come down. Today I'm going to spend some time in your home. You still are stopping for blind men. You're still stopping for those who will seek you. And Lord, this day we come before you, seeking you. God, remember your people. Remember your children. Remember your covenant, your promise. And let every stronghold be destroyed. Let healing flow like rivers of water. Provision, O God, like a flood pouring into our lives, your goodness. We've not come to seek man this day. We've come to seek you and your kingdom. Now let every other thing be added according to the promise of your word. we speak the name of Jesus. For your people, we receive your life today. We knock, and whatever it is that we knock at opens itself to us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. That was just so wonderful. The Word of God says, ask and you'll receive. It says, seek and you'll find. It says, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. It's a commitment from the Lord. If we ask, we will, without doubt, receive. Amen? That means that if you don't ask, you receive nothing. It says if you seek, whatever it is that you're seeking, you're going to find. In essence, God says, nothing shall be lost to you. Somebody shout hallelujah. And then it says, knock. And it shall be opened unto you. Nothing shall be able to resist your knock. Praise the Lord. Father said to Moses, strike that rock. What you need, it's going to bring out for you. You need water, strike that rock, knock. And it's going to open up. The Word of God says, as we praise God, the earth shall yield its increase to us. We have praised God in this house this morning. everything that we have knocked at will open itself to us. Praise God. You knock at healing today, healing must produce itself for you. Praise the Lord. Finances open up. The city of Winnipeg, I knock. Open. Somebody say, open! Nothing shall resist me, for I stand on the rock. Hallelujah. And from this rock, I say, I receive. It says, ask, and it shall be what? Given. Someone say, I receive that which is given. It is mine in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that they were arguing about who Aaron was and what right he had to be a high priest. And God says, stop this argument. Tell them to bring all their sticks, their staffs representing their tribes. And they brought it. And when they brought it, he took it and he placed it before the Ark of the Covenant in a dark room. When he came back the next day, Aaron's rod had budded. It blossomed, it flowered, it produced its fruit. It was not planted. It was in the presence. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the true essence of that dry wood, its true identity as an almond bearing fruit tree, was revealed. Say, I am in the presence of the living God. I knock on me. Let your true essence and your true identity in God be revealed. Thank you now. Praise the Lord. All creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. All creation waits for the manifestation of what? Sons of God. Knock on yourself. Son of God, open, be revealed. In Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, in a few days, it's going to be what they call Valentine's. It's our love month. May God's love be manifested in every life. We celebrate everyone. May the joy of the Lord be your strength. I thank God for everyone here present. And I thank God that you will fulfill your destiny. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Mama to come and lead us in our time of prayer and intercession. But as she comes, some of you may know, some of you may not know, that this last week she lost somebody very dear to her. And we pray God's strength to uphold and keep her. And young lady went home, but she wanted to go home, so we couldn't keep her. But We thank God for her life. And thank God for Mama. She carries a whole lot of responsibility. And but the Lord is our strength. Stretch your hand. Let's pray for her first. Huh? Father, let your strength uphold your daughter. Let every need be addressed. We declare, as we knock, open and release all that Father has for her this day. In Jesus' mighty name,
amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, it is well with me and my family. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's one of my sisters. We are many, you know. My dad had 12 girls and 3 brothers. So praise the Lord. So we were 15, now we are 13 left, but everybody's saved. Praise the Lord. So when you are a child of God, it's transition. You really went home. This is not our home. You go back to where you come from. If she's gone home, beautiful rose, you know. I remember as a baby, she's younger than me. She was younger than me, but I also say is because was and is. So she was, but she's also is. Hallelujah. So we are good. So we live for the living. The dead is gone, but the living is alive. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, this was her month of retirement. You know, she helped so many sick. You know, she was she worked in the medical field all her life. You know, and just a gentle, kind soul. So she's not an aggressive person like me. You fool around me, you're gonna get burnt. But she can tolerate people more than I do. But you know, I love people, but I don't tolerate garbage. So praise the Lord. So there's nobody who can love you more than me. I have a pure heart before God. So praise the Lord. I don't go out of my way to hurt people, but don't go out of your way to stand on my head. Jesus paid the price already. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's the glory and the lifter of my head. So I know who I am. So my sister loved the Lord to the end, you know. It's just the last few days was just to God. She really wanted to go home. So 19 was saying to her anymore. She was like looking to glory. You can see it. So praise the Lord. You can't see glory and still want to be here. So it is well. She had 2 children. Her name was Rose, you know, and she was a widow. But she raised her 2 children and very intelligent children. They are adults. So both are in their 30s, so praise God. So I've been a mother to many, those that are older than me and those that are younger than me have been their mother. So they call me Mama, so it's not only you that call that. So in my culture, the older doesn't call the younger Mama, but they do call me that, so praise the Lord. Praise God. So she is in glory, and I'm good. So I'm not, I will miss her. But we live on, so I don't cry for devil. So if devil is looking for me to wail and to fall apart, he's going to wait till the day he fries in hell. So praise the Lord. I cry for the goodness of God. It's always been that. When I got that revelation, you can't make me cry. Don't cry. You can't make me sad. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, is there a place for mourning? Yes, the Bible says, mourn with those who mourn. Comfort those who need comfort. Amen? And love on them. So we do all that part. But not everybody's in the same place. So we have to be loving and kind to one another. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to thank all of you who took time to call and to text. Some called. I was just busy with so many calls. I have to take care of things I have to take care of. So some, I received your text and I responded back. May God bless you. Praise the Lord. All right, let us move on with the business at hand. Let us pray for our beautiful children and give God praise. Live for God every day. I remember New Year's Eve, I told you nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. Many people are transitioning. May you be 100% ready. Say amen. So live your life in God. Father, we thank you for all our children, all our biological children, spiritual children, extended families, partners all over the world, and all the children standing in this altar this morning. And those hearing the sound of my voice, every child from 120 years old plus to zero form, seed form, walking in the earth every decade of life, we lift everyone before you, Lord. We declare the name of Jesus over every one of them. May they know you, love you, serve you, walk with you, and hear your voice even at a young age. In the mighty name of Jesus, be with every one of them at school, at work, at home. In the name of Jesus, you are their healer, their deliverer, the one that makes them whole. Be magnified and be glorified forevermore. We bless your holy name, and we thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' mighty name, bless the teachers and bless the parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare so. Amen. Well, bless you, children. We'll see you later. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of the fear of the Lord, in all your spirit, which is your holy word. We welcome you into our lives, into our heart, into this service, into our homes, our city, our nation, neighborhood, our families, and into the word of the Lord that's coming to us this morning, that it will be activated in our lives, and we will know you and the power of your resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Say amen. All right, our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 112. So there are 10 verses, so you got to catch up. Psalm 112. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Amen. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. So he's describing you as a child of God. So there is benefit being a child of God. Somebody say amen. Say amen. What did it say is in your house? Poverty, sickness, and disease. Say it loud. Somebody say, there's wealth and riches in my house. All wealth, all riches. Health is wealth. Amen? So it's not only cash. It's cash is good, but it's wealth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Loving God and being in God and being in his presence is wealth. Say amen. Because the presence of God can leave you. May the presence of God never leave you. Say amen. So where would you go without the presence of God? So that is wealth. You need that kind of wealth. It's those ones that bring the best into your life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My sister Rose that left now, she did not take anything. Very beautiful lady, you know, very fair. When she was born, she looked like a white person. So praise the Lord, you know. And she's maintained her slimness all her life. So she did not put on weight like me. So praise God. Praise the Lord. She take nothing, nothing. You can't take anything. So you need God. All she took with her now is Jesus. So having Jesus is wealth. So Jesus is in your house. Say amen. Somebody say, I have wealth. Well, who is Jesus? The King of Glory owns everything. So everything is in your house. And he lives inside you. So when you need it, you just, like Apostle said this morning, ask. Matthew 7:7, ask. Amen? Somebody say ask. Ask. Seek. Knock. It's all ask. So, amen. So wealth is in my house. So all I need to do, ask. Praise the Lord. And riches. A good name is better than riches. Hallelujah. So a good name is wealth and riches. That's what you want. Hallelujah. Not when somebody says you have a bad reputation for not being a kind person. Love is kind. Say amen. So you need kindness, it's riches. So take time when you get home. So don't just say the word. Meditate on the word, and the word will begin to speak to your heart. Say amen. Verse 4. Unto the upright there ariseth what? Light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, my light has come. Yes, light is not missing from your life. It has come. It's in you, but it's shining brighter than ever. Hallelujah. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Verse 5, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. So you know you're good, a good man, if you show favor. If you are an unkind person, you are not a good man. Somebody say, I show favor. Somebody say, I show favor. And I lend. When somebody is in need, you help them. You say, you are a good man. So God is talking about this type of people. They are the ones that have the wealth and riches in their house. Say amen. He said he will guide his affairs with what? Discretion. You are not known as the gossiper in town. You are known as somebody. If they tell you something, you don't hear it on BBC. You have discretion. You don't spread people's news by prayer request. Let us pray for this person. That's another way to gossip. Then pray. When you ask the person, what did you pray? They didn't pray nothing. Somebody say, wealth and riches are in my house. So when you have discretion, you are a rich person. Say amen. Are we still reading together? So we're telling, when we say wealth and riches, it's telling you what it is. It's in the same scripture. Praise the Lord. When you have these things, you will never lack. Somebody say, I don't lack. I don't lack. I really don't. So praise the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. When you need comfort, it comforts your soul. You don't feel pain. You see the pain, but you don't feel it. Say, praise the Lord. That is wealth and riches. Verse 6, surely he shall not be moved forever. Temporary. Every issue is temporary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The days are getting warmer now, so soon we'll see more of the clouds rolling away. They come and they go. They just go. They mind their business. They roll away. That's how every problem is. They roll away. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. So God is not, things are not moved away. God is not moved away from you forever. You are just going through process. Somebody say process. Every one of us must go through process. Process is not a bad thing, it's a good thing. It's bringing you to that wealthy place. Praise the Lord. The righteous shall be what? In everlasting remembrance. How many times does God remember you? Forever. So he remembered you today. He has not forgotten. Most people say, God, where are you? Why is this happening? No, God has remembered you. It's everlasting. Say amen. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. You don't hear bad news and then you just fall apart. Instead, you just praise God. Hallelujah. Your heart is fixed on him. That's when you know who you are. When you are in God, you stand strong. Hallelujah. Nothing move you. He said you shall not be moved. Hallelujah. His heart is fixed. So when things are supposed to shake you and make you fall apart, you are in God even better than ever. Praise the Lord. You begin to say, hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name. My soul bless you, O God. You are a faithful God. Hallelujah. So because you're not pretending, it's real. May God make himself real in you. And may you be real to God. Say amen. Say amen. Because your process, you will be in process. And when you are in process, these are the things that keep you and keep you solid. Verse 8. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. Amen. Your enemies will be taken care of. But you have to also open your mouth and say, God, fix my enemies. He's fixing you, but fix them too. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They will be blown away like the chaff. That's what God's word says, Psalm 1. But for you, you shall be established. Verse 9, he had dispersed, he had given to the poor, his righteousness endured forever. What does a blessed and wealthy, rich person that have all these things in their house do? Give. They are distributors. Amen? Of good things. They don't distribute evil. They distribute good. They give to the poor. Hallelujah. And God said, when you give this wealth and riches that will be in your house, your righteousness will endure what? Forever. Not sometime, forever. He is our righteousness. So he's saying, Jesus will be with you forever. Say amen. His horn shall be exalted with honor. What is your horn? The anointing. The anointing will never leave you. The pouring of God's oil, of his goodness, will never leave your life. You will always feel his warm liquid fire. Say amen. Your horn will be exalted with honor, not shame. Shame is not your portion. Honor is your portion. The glory of God will be your rare reward. Hallelujah. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Praise the Lord. So those who were waiting to see whether I'm falling apart, your sister died, you didn't even see her. I did not fall apart. Praise the Lord. I can still sing. I can still praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I can still stand and do whatever I was doing. Actually, the day she died, I had a meeting set up. I still went for my meeting. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 3 days, 3 nights, I was awake because I had to deal with the children. So praise the Lord. You know, one is in New York, one is in Nigeria. I had to both sides. Then all my siblings. Praise the Lord. You know, and some of them were wailing. I'm the one who told them, I said, what's that? Stop that. Doesn't do anything. You're just going to have a headache and you're going to be sick. So it's okay to cry, but you don't need to be doing all of that. Devil loves to see you roll on the ground. Well, this only happened on the night. By 11th, everybody's normal, joking and laughing. So praise the Lord. May God lift every problem from your family. Say amen. Now it is well. There are people who are still grieving for 40 years after something happened. That has become the workshop of the devil. Let us rise and pray. We grieve not with people who have no hope. We have hope. And he is called the living hope. And what's his name? Jesus. We sang it this morning. Speak Jesus. When you call that name, it's the name above every other name. Is death a name? His name is above it. I say, is death a name? Is death, when you have, what's the other one, you know, D-E-B-T, is that a name? His name is higher. Hallelujah. So you will be debt free. Say amen. Somebody say, will I be able to pay off my mortgage? Yes. You will be debt free. Name above every name. Somebody say, I don't have a house yet. I wish I owned my own house like other people. You will have your own house. Your house will not become a problem. Not every day everything is falling apart. Even your own physical house will not fall apart. Somebody touch your body, say, I will not fall apart. Yes, you got somebody. Can you call that name again?
Jesus.
Can you call that name again?
Jesus.
As you call his name, when I tell you call that name, when you call his name this morning, everything that's misaligned will be aligned.
Yes.
Call that name.
Jesus.
Call that name.
Jesus.
Call that name.
Jesus.
Call him like Bartimaeus called him. Call that name.
Jesus.
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 Hallelujah. You call his name. His name is higher than any other. Any other. Higher than man's word, higher than anybody, anything created, visible and invisible, things, dominion, thrones. Hallelujah. Call that name again.
Jesus.
When you call his name, everything pays attention. Animate and inanimate objects, they hear him. The mountain hears, the trees hear, the soil hear, the oceans hear, because the Bible said the oceans, they roar. Lions roar, the ocean roar. Everything is made has got hearing, and they hear. Your body hears, your body speaks. Now, how many of you, when you are hungry or something is happening, do you hear your stomach roaring? Mm-hmm. Even those things inside, they speak. So everything hears. So when I say call that name, whether you are sick, whether there's lack, whether there's poverty, whether whatever it is, whether there's a court case that is not going away, they will align. So when you speak that name, you are calling those things to attention. Hear ye him. Are you ready to call that name? Jesus. 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 See the name cutting and piercing asunder and bringing forth. You see that rock that water came from. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He see that bridge on the sea floor that you can walk through. So call his name again. I don't know what you're going through, so see that thing done.
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Now I say, have mercy on me.
Have mercy on me.
Have mercy on me. Oh Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So as your children have cried, you've heard their voice. When we call upon that name, you show up. Call upon me and I will answer. That's your word. You are not a God that lies. Your name has been called. Your name is written upon us. You live within us. And you live to forever make intercession for us. And Lord, we receive your loving kindness and we bless your holy name. We bless you. and we thank you. We now speak peace over Jerusalem, peace within her walls and her palaces, peace within the nation of Israel. Peace, O God, over the nations of the earth. Peace for those who are hurting right now between Syria and Turkey, where the earthquake caused a devastation. Hundreds of thousands of people perish. Father, bring healing to your people. May they still call Jesus. You are still in control. You are still available. Father, bless your people. Comfort those who mourn. Comfort my family members. Comfort Rose's children. Comfort all your people. Those who are hurting here, comfort them. Those whose families are going through crisis, Jesus be the Christ. In the name of Jesus, we speak peace over our nations. Peace within Jerusalem, Israel, as in peace we receive for Canada, Nigeria, United States of America, Argentina, Lithuania, Senegal, Spain, in the name of Jesus. Touch all the islands of the seas and every nation that call upon the name of Jesus. Bless your people, heal them, restore them, make them whole. And bless the word of the Lord that is coming to us this morning. Bless our tithes and our offering. Give to those who do not have, for you give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. May we live according to your word, Psalm 112, 1 to 10 that we read. Let it be real in our lives. In Jesus' name, bless the carrier of the word, the giver of the word, the receiver of the word, and those who establish your word, publishing it, and saying Jesus is Lord. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Apostle.
Praise the Lord. Amen. In the last few weeks, we've been talking about the church. In Matthew 16, the Lord, having asked his disciples the question, "Who do men say I am?" And the disciples haven't responded to say that you're Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He then asked them very directly, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." The response of the Lord was, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar Jonah, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say to you, upon this rock, this revelation, that I am the Christ, I am going to build my church, my ecclesia. And the gates, the government, the leadership, the regime of hell shall not prevail against it." The church that's built on the foundation of the revelation of Christ. We know that the word Christ or Christus has to do with the Messiah. Who is the Messiah? The Messiah is a deliverer. Someone say deliverer. A deliverer delivers.
A deliverer delivers a service of redemption, peace, healing, salvation. But the word Christ also means this. He is the Christ because he came to save, to serve. And basically what the Lord said when Peter revealed that statement, thou the Christ, and he said, I'm going to build my church on this foundation of this truth, is that he was saying, I'm going to build my church on the foundation of people who bring deliverance, salvation, service to the world. Hallelujah. Now, we as a church many times have not taken hold of that truth as we should. But everything around us talks about service. And if the truth be known, and if the truth be received, what God wants for everyone who is his church is 100% service. A church that is serving 100% of its members, serving, representing who Jesus is, it's a church that the gates of hell can never prevail over. Hello? A lot of people fail because they get burnt out. They get burnt out because they are overworked and they need a break somewhere. The pressure is too much on them, and the pressure is too much on them because too many people are not serving. And what God calls us to do is that we need to be fully engaged as the church. The best schools that our world has experienced were built by the church. Doesn't matter whether it's a Harvard or whatever, you name it. Because the church saw the need to serve people as it related to education. When the church ceased to serve the people, because nature abhors a vacuum, the devil came and brought his service. And you can see his service all around the world because we vacated our place. And God is calling us back as his church to recognize our place and to serve from the strength of that which he has placed us with the grace and the ability to accomplish. Now that service starts from home. We've covered a lot of ground. We've talked about the fact that God calls us not to be critical and judgmental, but at the same time, God calls us to be discerning. Covered that. We talked about how we've been sent as sheep amongst wolves. Because God calls us to a place of vulnerability. We're vulnerable because we are surrendered to him, recognizing that he is a good shepherd and that he watches over us to protect, to provide, to minister to us and empower us. We talked about the fact that shepherds don't give birth to sheep, but that sheep give birth to sheep or lambs. Remember that? I told you about how I saw something on YouTube and Facebook where a shepherd was giving birth to sheep. Well, you can see it the right way, you can see it the wrong way. You can see it in the sense that the shepherd was helping the sheep give birth, or you can see it the wrong way, that the shepherd himself was birthing a sheep. That one of them is impossible. And the recognition of that truth is that many times we have structured that I, standing here right now, I am the minister and you are not the minister. But that's not what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God says that I help to build up the church, you, so that you can do the work of the ministry. Amen? You most likely meet more people than I will meet during the week. Engineers work with engineers, and every engineer that's a believer should be winning engineers into the kingdom of God. Doctors should win doctors, not that they cannot win other people, but wherever the platform God has placed you in, that's the platform where God has called you to preach. Praise the Lord. Because your first assignment is to preach. Glory be to God. I believe I spent time doing a teaching on that from the book of Ecclesiastes a few months back. That your assignment is to be a preacher. Every one of us. God sent us as his disciples to go into the world to preach the gospel, to make disciples of nations. In other words, God calls us to influence nations so that nations live right. And how do we do that? We deal with leaders, target leaders, influence leaders who in turn influence the people. Why is this important? Because the true gatekeepers of a nation are the national leaders. If you go through the scriptures and you go through the history of the people of Israel, you'll find out that it didn't matter whether there was an Elijah or an Elisha. It didn't matter whether there was a Jeremiah or an Ezekiel. The nation became a good, faithful, revived nation when they had a good leader, a good king. Every time you saw a bad king, the nation went into apostasy. Didn't matter whether there were prophets. Because the only way to change a nation is to change the leadership. Influence the leadership. So what is the assignment that God has given to us that we've vacated ourselves from? We've vacated ourselves as a church away from national issues. We've not spoken to the issues that are affecting our nation. We're not involved in the politics of the land when God says, occupy till I come. Did he say that or not? So the church is the ecclesia. The ecclesia is another word for government. Senators, when they gathered together, were called the ecclesia. The governing body. And today I want to raise up, by the authority of the Word of God, that those of us that have been called to lead in our communities, lead in our city, lead in our province or state, lead in the national, federal levels, that the glory of God, I knock on your spirit, on your soul, that you will come alive and that you will step into the destiny that God has called you to, because God has called you to influence nations. He said, disciple nations. The church is not just spiritually minded and earthly foolish. The church is declaring, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. And in God's kingdom, there's no confusion about your sex. Glory be to God. In God's kingdom, there is no sanctioning of illicit drugs. Because we don't get to get high on marijuana. We get to get high on the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's the kingdom of God we're talking about. The kingdom of God brings the language of God to the earth realm. And the peace of God is declared in the earth as it is in heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When we talked about the church, we talked about bearing one another's burdens. We talked about watching out for each other. We talked about the fact that we are one body. One body. Praise the Lord. That body is made up of parts. We have our arms. We have our hands. We are all kinds of people from every nation, from every tribe, and from every tongue. And together, we exemplify who Jesus Christ is. The Bible tells us that together we died with him on the cross. We talked about that. And if we died with him, we also were raised with him. And when we were raised with him, we ascended. Praise the Lord. And we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Is that the truth or not? Seated with him in heavenly places. Seated with him on the throne as rulers. We rule and we reign with Christ. So my mentality must be one of one who is not a slave to sin, because I died and I'm no longer a slave, but one who is now raised up to reign. When I have that perspective, I have the perspective of one who is called to lead. Someone say lead. I'm called to lead. The church is called to lead in society. Amen? But leadership in the kingdom of God, the word of God says, the one who wants to lead must first of all be willing to what? Serve. So our leadership is in our serving our community, bringing to the community what will best enhance its ability to live out the life that God has for it, which is good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It starts here. Everyone that comes to the house of God must see themselves as somebody who's called to lead somebody. Do you recognize the fact that everyone here is leading somebody? That's right. You are following, but you are also leading. Everybody is leading somebody or influencing somebody. You were born to lead. Well, maybe you don't get it. Even when you were a baby, You were leading already. Your mother, your father had to carry you because you were leading them. Glory. It was inborn inside of you to lead. You lead, you follow. You lead, you follow. But everybody has leadership grace bestowed upon them. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will find out that place and that person that God has ordained for you to lead, and that you will lead them to the one who is the rock of ages, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Somebody shout hallelujah. The greatest demonstration of your leadership is in you leading people to the greatest leader of all, the Lord of lords and the King of all kings. Somebody shout hallelujah. You are, I am, the body of Christ. Now, if I'm going to be what God says I should be, I cannot keep grudges. I find that one of the things that has destroyed so many in the church is that they are very good keepers of grudges. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. Matthew 6 and verse 14. It says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also what? Forgive you. But if you forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." If you are forgiving people, then you're not keeping grudges. Praise the Lord. The church must be a grudge-free place. You know, people lose it many times for things that really don't matter. And the reason they lose it is because they've been piling up stuff. And so just a little bit triggers a volcanic expression of anger. And there's no matching between their anger and what they're angry about, because they've been piling up stuff. Not necessarily at a particular person, but they pile from this person and that person and that person and that person and that person, not forgiving people, and all of a sudden, one day, they go postal. And people say, "What happened? He's always been a quiet guy." No, he's always been a grudge keeper, keeping and pushing things down, because never deals with anything. So what does the Word of God tell us to do? We need to speak to each other, but do so in love. If your brother is doing something that is offensive to you, deal with it. In fact, the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, I love the Lord. Don't you love the Lord? He says, if you bring in an offering and you find out that while you're bringing that offering, you've got an issue with a brother, he says, leave the offering. He said, it doesn't take your offering with you and go and deal with it. He says, leave your offering, because I know you. You won't come back. Leave your offering, go deal with your brother, and then come back. That is practical good sense. If you've got an issue with your brother, deal with it. It's not okay to stuff yourself with issues, because it's going to come and haunt you. And not only that, it's going to hinder your capacity to receive answers to prayers. But the house of God is supposed to be a house of what? Prayers for all what? nations. God has a national perspective. And he says to us, hey, I know you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea in Mark 11. And if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. But then he says, but when you stand praying, forgive. When you stand what? Praying. Forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. No grudge keeping. No unforgiveness. In Matthew 6, the Lord is teaching his disciples how to pray. And he says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. For if ye forgive not. Of all the things he just told us, our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. The only thing he needs to go back to is forgive. Because that is the one thing that's going to shut you out and cause the gates of hell to prevail over your life. Unforgiveness. The word of God says, be angry, but sin not. You don't know what they did to me. No, I don't. But I know what you're doing to yourself. Somebody spat on your face and you're busy licking it. Say, that's gross. Yes, that's gross. That's what unforgiveness does. They hurt you, now you're hurting yourself. Let that addiction to weakness that causes you not to understand who you are and understand that God has raised you up to reign and to rule and to have authority over every circumstance in your life. Let that stronghold collapse now in Jesus' mighty name. Unforgiveness. Marriages are destroyed because of it. Children don't talk to their parents and parents don't talk to their children or their siblings because of unforgiveness. Nations. President Jesus Chin was making a speech recently to the Chinese people, and he's talking about things that happened thousands of years ago. He's talking about stuff that the West did to them hundreds of years ago. They've not forgotten. It's called unforgiveness. When people are walking in unforgiveness, they might be smiling at you, but it's a goat smile. You know what a goat smile is? Let me not be too gross this morning. A goat, when a goat is hung on a stick and it's been barbecued, all of a sudden smiles. That's the smile of some people. They're smiling on one hand and they want to kill you at the other hand. That must not be in the church. Praise the Lord. Don't smile at me and go behind me and start talking about me. They call it backbiting. There are too many pastors have had too many bites on their back. Hallelujah. Too many brothers and sisters with bites on their back from strange figures. By the time you turn around to find out who is biting you, they've turned around with you so you can't even see them. The devil is a liar. Praise the Lord. No backbiting. Hallelujah. So what is the church about? The church is about mentoring. When we come together, we bring our gifts and we mentor each other with that which God has given to us. So the Bible says in the book of Titus, chapter 2, beginning to read from verse 3. It says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false, what? Accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Put in a nutshell, be mentors. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young what? Women to be what? Sober, to love their what? Husbands, to love their what? Children. Older women teach. Older men teach. What does it take to be a good husband? What does it take to be a good wife? Teach. What will destroy your marital home? Teach. Maybe one of these Sundays, Mama and I will sit down and talk about men and women. I'll talk about the men part, what women must not do to men, because that is going to cause them not to be the man that you want. And the woman will talk to, she will talk to us about women, and we'll all learn together. Is that okay? Praise the Lord. But there are things that we need to learn. And if we're going to learn it, it has to be taught. Somebody needs to mentor us. It says to be discreet. Learn discretion. You don't have to tell everybody everything about everything. In fact, if you don't know it, there are people who may want that husband of yours that you are telling them about. That wife of yours that you think is a useless witch. That husband of yours that you think is a crazy fool, a maniac. They will encourage you to tell them more. And as soon as you step out the door, they will come and comfort, you know, it's okay. And before you know it, you are on the outside and they are on the inside. The church teaches people to learn discretion, learn how to be chaste. Keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Obedient to their own what? Husbands. Not obedient to all men. To their own what? Husbands. That the word of God be not what? Ooh. You mean that if there's no obedience, if there's no chastity, if there's no discretion, the name of God is going to be blasphemed? I thought you guys are Christians. Mentorship. Young men likewise exhort to be what? Sober-minded. It's interesting to me that the context of the passage is about older women. But it comes to young men and it doesn't make that switch. We can make that switch. But it's saying mothers that nurture men, teach them, help them. It does not exclude the men mentoring men. But the first love of every young man, or let's put it this way, the second and possibly the last love of every young man before he starts his family is his mother. Men love their mothers. Now, I'm not going to go too deep with that because we'll go somewhere else. But there's a connection between mothers and young men. Young men likewise exhort to be what? Sober-minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. This is a statement to Titus, but it's a statement that is making to Titus as it relates to women and relating to young men. So ultimately, the role of Titus is this: disciple mothers to be this kind. Disciple the men to be this kind. People of sound speech that cannot be condemned. Sound speech. How do you come to have sound speech? Because you are learning. You are attentive. You are having a mind that searches for truth. You look at every side of an issue. You don't just jump on one side and become a fanatic. You know, the problem today is that people don't understand that truth is truth. People join parties. I'm a liberal. I'm an NDP-er. I'm a conservative. I'm Republican. I'm socialist. I'm whatever else. And they just look at their party and not look at what truth is. So the conservative thinks only one way, being financially conservative, but doesn't have a sense of welfare. Thinks only of equality and not equity. And so the people are pitted in all kinds of places. The church is not meant to be that. The church sees all sides and maneuvers like water. It flows. It goes around obstacles. It finds solutions. What is the best thing to do here? It's not just about judgment. It's also about justice. That's what the church is about. The church looks at things. Have you ever been in a store and you want something done and this person is so regimented to principle or whatever and they cannot deal with the issue that they need to deal with and solve a problem. And they just stuck. Have you ever been in that? And you say, what kind of craziness is this? The church finds solutions. Amen? We must be a church that finds solutions. There are problems. What is the problem? And what is the answer to solve that problem? That is what Jesus Christ our Lord does. And so he never did the same miracle the same way. One day he will spit on soil and stick it on somebody's face and say, go wash your face. Well, I say, wait a minute. My face was clean before you spat on that sand and put it and rubbed it on my face. If you just didn't do that, I wouldn't need to go look for something to wash my face with. But that's how he did it. Another time he says, just go see. Your eyes are open. Because God has a billion, trillion, zillion ways to solve one problem. And so, we can allow God to step in and bring solutions our way. If we understand that, we'll not begrudge anybody. I asked this person for this, and they didn't do it for me. Well, maybe they were not meant to do it. Maybe that's not how God wants to make that provision available. Now you're hating on that person, and God has not led them to do whatever it is that you said they should do. Now you want to pray, oh God, whatever. God didn't call us to bewitch each other, manipulate each other. God called us to trust him, to meet all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I tell you, child of God, if you do that and you cease pointing your fingers and blaming everybody for whatever it is they did or did not do, you will live a peaceful life. Because if you don't, you're going to hate everybody. This person didn't do this. This person didn't call me. This person didn't send this message. This person didn't blah, 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 blah. No, 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 no. Hold it, hold it, hold it. Cool it. Your prayer is, Lord, help me and everybody else represent Jesus Christ to each other. Does that mean that we don't get hurt? Yes, we get hurt when people don't do right by us. But the reality is this: nobody owes me anything. Whatever it is that I do as unto the Lord. And that means I free you. Should people be responsible? Absolutely. But if they are not, they stand and fall before their Lord. They will have to answer to the Lord. But I'm not going to make your mess my mess. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So everybody's free. Because God has called us to freedom, not to bondage. Hallelujah. This is not a bondage place. This is a freedom place. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. That's the church. Praise God. Well, the church, when you come to church, you call to volunteer. Volunteer what God has given to you, your skills, your talents to make the church a better place. If the church is a bad church, you must look first to yourself and say, what good have I brought? And what change have I brought to it? Oh, we don't have this ministry. We don't have this kind of ministry. We don't have this kind of ministry. We don't have this. We don't have that. We don't have this. We don't have that. Who's going to do it? If you can find out that we don't have it, maybe the reason you found out that we don't have it is because God may be calling you to bring it. Oh, we don't have a bus ministry. Okay. What can you do to make sure that we have a bus ministry? We don't have a drama ministry. Okay. What does God have you in your life that can bring you to bring about a drama ministry? Oh, we don't have a good praise and worship band. Okay. What has God given to you that will bring that about? If you can identify the problem, there is a chance that God will also grant you the grace to bring the solution. It's not about pointing your fingers. What can I bring to the table that will bring about a difference to this community? Because we are a community. Amen? And communities come into unity together. Praise the Lord. Let me put it this way as I wrap. In a band, there are all kinds of instruments. You may have a guitar, you may have drums, you may have a trumpet, saxophone, a cello, all kinds of different instruments. If you've gone to a concert when they're getting ready and you hear sometimes, especially in high school bands, yeah, I think that's the best place to, not the professionals, but high school band. And you go there early and you see these kids practicing their stuff, you want to do this. Oh my God. Individually, while they are practicing at home, it sounds like noise. And individually, the particular grace that God has placed in your life might sound like noise to other people. Until we come together. And when that orchestra strikes, all of a sudden, all of those little noises become an amazing sound, an ensemble. I wonder why they call it ensemble. Maybe it's because it's an assembly of instruments. We sound good when we harmonize the gifts that God has given to us. Praise the Lord. You have flour of any kind, wheat. You have eggs, you have sugar, you have all kinds of different stuff. Now, there are some people who have funny taste buds and they love raw eggs. That's not me, because raw eggs don't taste that good. Neither does flour. You can stick a whole bunch of flour in your mouth and it tastes good. Sugar is sweet, but you put a whole bunch of sugar in your mouth. Salt is wonderful, but a bunch of salt in your mouth. But you bring all of those things together, you mix it together, you knead it together, and lo and behold, you have a wonderful cake. A wonderful cake from all that stuff. You might be the egg, might be the flour, but we're not going to have no cake. Hello? Without that flour, without those eggs, without that sugar, and if we don't taste good and we taste bland like some people's cooking, it's because the seasoning is not there. You might just be the seasoning that we need. And if you're not in the mix, we don't taste good. The word of God says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Why? Because we are all contributing our particular giftings. Because we trust in Him. Because we trust in each other. I can be vulnerable to you and you to me. You can tell me something and not hear it on CBC. This is the truth. If Mama counsels with somebody, or I counsel with somebody, without the permission of the person that I'm counseling or talking with, she's not going to hear a thing. Neither am I going to hear a thing. Why? I am not called to be a gossiper. Talk to me. I hear what you have to say. Until Jesus transforms me in the twinkling of an eye and I'm caught up to be with Him in the air, nobody else hears about it. Because the discussion was between us. In fact, when I'm meeting with people, with Mama and I, and I'm talking with people, I'll say, God, this meeting is between you and us here. Therefore, not an angel, not a demon is allowed to be in this discussion. This is a private discussion. Are you with me? So when you talk with people, listen up, and they're telling you something that is of utmost importance that needs to be shared, ask them, is it okay for me to tell somebody else? So that they can pray, so that they can give, so that they can respond, so that they can do whatever. But it's not my responsibility to tell anybody anything without the permission of the one that I'm dealing with. That is how you keep things tight. And nobody is placed in a position of vulnerability that causes them to stumble. Did you hear that? Now there's a balance to that, and the balance is take permission. Don't just yap your mouth. Connect. And having connected, minister from a position of strength and wholeness. Do you receive that word? We'll continue. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're talking about the church, that the gates of hell do not prevail over. A gossiping church, the devil will prevail over. You get the point? Praise the Lord. Now rise with me. Our reverence of the Lord causes us to be a people who will lack nothing. Father, we stand in awe of you. We stand in awe of you, and we say, build your church. Build your church, us as individuals. Build your church, us as a corporate body. May we live out the life of Christ and be men and women that serve in the integrity and the discretion of grace that has been released unto us. As you step out of this gathering place today, may we see ourselves as men and women that have been called to lead. That the young ones see themselves as leaders in their schools, their middle schools, their high schools, their universities, their elementary schools, their nurseries. Everyone bringing to the household of faith, bringing to you those that you have made them have contact with, that we may be a people fruitful, increase mightily, because our service acknowledges your lordship and acknowledges those people that we are with. Let the spirit of apathy be destroyed from our lives. May we have the heartbeat of the Most High God to love with abandon. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated for a moment. Is there anyone this morning that will say, you know, Pastor, I need to give my life to the Lord. I don't want to let you just leave without giving that commitment if you've not committed yourself to the Lord. If there's somebody that wants to recommit their lives to the Lord, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Secondly, there's maybe somebody here today and say, you know what, I've heard the word of the Lord and I understand what my responsibility is meant to be. I want to serve God in every way possible and be one that God can count on to bring in the harvest of souls. I will share the love of God with somebody else, and I'm making that commitment today. God, help me be a winner of souls, or a soul winner. If there's anybody like that, just raise your hand. See those hands? Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. That's what God has called us to do. We are saved to be conduits of salvation to others. We are light and we are shining to dispel darkness. rise with me one more time. Say with me, Father, I receive your word. And having received your word, I receive my deliverance. I receive my healing. I receive my peace. I receive your provision. I receive my salvation. I declare with my mouth, Jesus is Lord over my life. And this day, I receive the anointing to serve, to touch lives. Grant me, O God, every week, every day, a life to speak to. Thank you, Lord, that you are the Savior of all mankind. Thank you for salvation. Is come to my home, to my community, to my city, to my province and state, to my country and my world. And I am a vessel that you are using to touch the whole earth. In Jesus' name, I decree it so done. Amen, 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 and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Mama to come. And while she's getting herself ready to come, I'd like you at this time to honor God with your special offering, your tithe, your offerings, your first fruits, whatever it is that God has laid in your hands. Just obey God with that right now, and may God greatly bless you. I'd like to remind you to please pray, and not just pray, but to give towards the mass crusade that we're going to be having this March in less than a month from now. We're going to be having a mass crusade in a foreign nation, and we're expecting no less than 200,000 people in the gathering, and we're expecting to have thousands upon thousands of people healed, delivered, but above all, saved. I encourage you to participate. Those of you that are champions of faith, who made a commitment to be champions of faith in the past, I need you to step up at this time to honor God with those very special offerings in the thousands that you can give so that we can get this job done quickly. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Has everybody been served with the elements of communion? Anybody needs to be served? Okay, everybody has been served. Praise the Lord.
Right. Let's rise. Those of you at home and those of you are here, get your elements. We're starting with the bread. Jesus took bread the same night he was betrayed. He broke it and he called it, "This is my body." So what we're about to partake of is the body of Christ. Say, "Do this in remembrance of me." Every part of your body that is broken, he has taken it and he has given us his perfect body. So let us take of this bread as we eat, that our body will be made whole. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus gives us the grace to be part of the family of God. We are part of that bloodline. Amen. If God has a DNA, well, his DNA has been infused into us. Praise the Lord. If we're lacking in any area, what the blood of Jesus Christ came to accomplish is now being accomplished in our lives. Our land is no longer cursed. Our families are not cursed. Our businesses are not cursed. It is all sanctified by the blood of Jesus. Royalty, royal blood,
yes.
Godly blood,
amen,
flows through us.
Yes.
As we take of this, let all that God our Father ordained and designed to be accomplished when Jesus Christ our Lord set up this institution or testament of the Lord's Supper, may it be fulfilled in us,
amen,
and through us to his glory forever. In Jesus' name, take and drink. There. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Stretch your hands towards us as Mama prays.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your holy word. We've heard your word, what the church ought to be. I ask now that that word we've heard this morning, since we have taken of the bread and the wine, the body and the blood of Jesus, that it will be activated in our heart, that the Holy Ghost will activate it, and we will live by your word. We will not be hearers and forgetful doers. We will be hearers and doers of your word. Heal this church. Bring the body of Christ together to walk together as a team. That the body of Christ will go forth. That the sheep will go forth and bring forth more sheep. And give birth to sheep. Bring discipleship. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That people will grow in God, grow in grace, grow in favor, grow in the goodness of God. That families and households will be saved. Thank you that the city of Winnipeg is responding to this word.
Amen.
Every city hearing our voice, in every city, every nation you're hearing, you're turning to God now. And
Amen.
The house of the Lord is full. The house of glory is full and is full of glory.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. And your people profit and they are blessed and they are healthy and they are wealthy. And we thank you, God, as they go home today, they will have a good time with themselves and their families. And they will bless somebody with the word of the Lord and with the goodness of God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we'll see you tonight for another wonderful time together. Let's say a quick hello to those on Zoom.
Yeah.